You're on Mario Lopez. Let's get to the phone right now. Mr. Ricky Gervais is waiting on hold. How you doing, Ricky?
How's it going? Good.
It's going great. Thank you so much for taking the time to call in. Excited for your Humanity tour. First, tell us, why'd you call it Humanity?
I don't know. I think those one-word pompous titles started. I've always done it. My first tour was called Animals, then Politics, then Science, then Fame. And I think it's something to just, you know, jump off of. Although this one is probably the most cohesive. This one is, you know, it's got the most narrative, and it comes back to, you know, my thoughts about what's happening with the world, you know, my 50 years on the planet. And it's still funny. It's not like, it's not a real lecture. It's still a comedian telling jokes or more anecdotes. It's a jump off point, really. It sort of frames it. And I like the audience to leave thinking they haven't just heard a string of decapitated jokes or one-liners. There's a story to it almost, that, you know, it's bigger than the sum of its parts. So that's the idea behind it. But it was it's certainly a good year to do a tour called Humanity.
Yeah. And do you find that audiences overseas laugh at pretty much the same jokes as the ones here in the States?
There's no, I mean, outside language barriers, which, you know, I play either English-speaking countries or countries that their English as a foreign language is probably better than mine. So I play, you know, North America, Scandinavia, you know, most of Europe. So no, outside a very specific cultural reference, audience is the same. I think the big difference is there are smart audiences and dumb audiences. And, you know, I try and keep politics out of comedy, just because if you're relying on all the people in the room agreeing with you,
right,
I think it loses something comedically. So, that's rallying. So I think we all laugh at the same things. And also I'm dealing with sort of big issues. I'm not doing, you know, particularly topical jokes, or I'm doing jokes that sort of travel. It's always been about humanity. It's about vanity and stupidity and jealousy and, you know, it's about
universal subjects. Yes.
What gets our, you know, people's nerves. So I think most people relate to it, you know, everywhere.
You say smart audiences and dumb audiences. Where have you found the dumb audiences frequent?
Well, I haven't. I just haven't. You know, also when you're playing to like 5, 10, 15,000 people, it's sort of homogenized. If they've been able to work and, you know, afford a ticket, you know, they're grown ups. You know, they've got to have some sort of level of intelligence. You know, and I think that I do what I do, and I let the audience find me. I'm sure there are audiences I wouldn't go down well with. You know, if I gate crash other, you know, audiences or, you know, other comedians, or I might not go down as well. But all these people have come to see me, and they know me. And I think this is my favorite tour because of that, because I've been in the business now for 15 years. Yeah. People know me, and so I can get away with more, and I don't have to explain myself. You know, I think when you're dealing with sort of contentious issues, I talk about taboo subjects. I do sort of go there. I think there's nothing off limits for comedy. It depends on the joke, and sometimes it takes a while for people to get that's what you're doing. And, you know, when you're with friends, you say things you wouldn't say in public. You don't have to keep saying, sorry, I'm only joking. They know you.
Right.
And I think the audience knows me now. So, I you know, there's nothing out of bounds. But no one goes away offended. I don't know why this thing, what happens is, you do an hour and a half of comedy, and one of the lines is taken out of context and put on Twitter or in the papers. And there's outrage because they haven't been there. They haven't understood the journey that, you know, to get to that line. So, it's about the sum of its parts, and I think people jump to conclusions these days. People
right.
are so ready to be offended
yes.
about things they don't know about, that they weren't there, and you can't worry about it. So, I don't get those anymore. That's what I'd call a dumb audience, an audience who mistakes the subject of a joke with the target. They get offended, and I haven't even listened to what the joke's saying. And that's a dumb audience to me.
I absolutely agree with you. I'd find it extremely difficult these days to be both a police officer and a comic, to do your job really correctly with the politically correctness that now it seems to have consumed 2017.
there's no pleasing them anymore, because people, the last few years, have seen this shift where people no longer look at the argument. They worry about who's saying the argument.
Right.
There's this prejudgment that they want to know whose side you're on before they consider what you're saying, as opposed to looking at what you're saying. And it's humanity is about this. So I think I've lived the best 50 years of humanity, and now it's started to go the other way a little bit. And it is about ignorance and stupidity. And this thing that people say, my opinion is worth as much as your fact. We're in this strange post-truth era where people, it's odd. It's like willful ignorance these days. So, you know, I've still got things to complain about. And I suppose the general theme of the show is me complaining from the most privileged position imaginable. So I think that's what comedy is, really. It's an ordinary guy sort of complaining about the world, you know, trying to do something he's not equipped to do. And I think the other thing is, traditionally, comedy is you're from low status and you're complaining about stuff. Whereas now people know that, you know, my life's going okay. So what I do, I don't pretend I'm having troubles that I'm not. But what I do is I confront it, really. And I talk about things that give me that lower status. I talk about, you know, being old and getting fat and I'm going to die soon. And I think that allows the audience to go, yeah, no, he's not better than us. He's much, much worse.
Well, everyone can relate to that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's for sure. Totally agree with you, by the way, on all that. That's wonderful to see. And comics, so important these days to keep the barometer of truth going.
It's more important than anything now.
Yes.
When everyone gets away with lies, what you do is you don't combat them with more lies. What you do is tell the truth more than ever before. And the truth will out. This is just a blip. So the more we tell the truth, rationality, honesty, and the truth will, it will get there in the end. It will crush lies and hate and despair. I'm an optimist, even though I sound like I'm not. I am an optimist, and I think everything will be okay.
I agree, Ricky. However, society has become so fake that people can't handle the truth now. So it remains to
be
seen.
They don't want to, though. It really is. It's like a convenient lie is more comforting. And again, they don't want the truth if it's coming from the side they don't like.
Right.
It's like they willfully no. They put their fingers in their ears
right.
and they run away.
Yeah,
they don't want to give anyone. No one wants to say I was wrong. Oh, sorry. No one. There's things people ask me about. I go, I don't know. People are scared to say I don't know anymore. It's like, you know, people even accuse science. So people say, science has been wrong before. Well, yeah, that's the beauty of science. It knows when it's wrong. It corrects itself.
Right,
that's
right.
That's why it's amazing.
That's awesome. I wanted to talk about this animated movie that you're a part of. It's apparently based on the 70s film Blazing Saddles, which ironically we couldn't do these days, called Blazing Samurai. What can you tell us about it?
It is that. It's the story of it's Mel Brooks' Blazing Saddles, but with cats.
Like felines?
Yeah, exactly.
Which is probably the only way you could do that movie today.
they've replaced humans with cats, which is, I think, is the way the world. I'd like to replace the whole world with cats and dogs.
That's hilarious.
I think the thing that's bad about the world is humans. I think it'd be great without us.
And last question, Ricky. Last year you brought back David Brent, your character, of course, from the British Office. Would you ever consider revisiting any of the American Office characters?
Well, there's talk about bringing that back as well. And, you know, and even though I did, you know, the Office was my baby and I did that. And I've, you know, I did like the two series and the special and I did the movie and that's it sort of for me. But you know, the American Office was fantastic and it did like 300 episodes. And so, I say, if you want to bring that back for another 300 episodes and, you know, give me my royalty, I say, yes, please. Yes, please. You can't have too much syndication,
right?
In my opinion.
Agreed. Well, tour dates and ticket info are up right now at onwithmario.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Ricky Gervais. Thanks so much for calling in. Enjoy the conversation.
My pleasure.
Take
See
care.
You soon. Come to the gig. See you later, man.
Thank you, sir. On with Mario Lopez.